Amen. Will you take your Bibles tonight and open to the book of Psalms? Psalm 73 is where we're going to be tonight. Everybody having a good day?
Every day is a good day.
Amen. Move all this stuff out of my way and get the other 73. We'll begin reading in verse 23. The Lord is speaking. He says, "Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into the glory. Whom have I in heaven but you," the psalmist says, "and being with you I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near to God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of all of your deeds." Lord, I come to you tonight, Father, and I thank you for this passage because it reminds us more than anything else of who you are and that you're always going to be with us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. No matter what we're facing, maybe it's a struggle, a trial, maybe it's a great day, but no matter what is going on, Lord, we know you're right here with us, and I just praise you for that. And Lord, I pray that as you speak through your word to us tonight, we will take that and allow it to bond in our hearts and minds so that we'll think on it regularly. We'll remember even more than we do now that every single day you're right here with us. Every single day you're walking alongside of us. Every single day you're strengthening us and you're lifting us up and you're holding on to us and you'll never let us go. And I just thank you so much for that in Jesus' name. Amen. He's always there. Do you think that God's always there? He is. Every minute, every second, every millisecond, all the time for eternity, He'll be there with you. He's never ever going to, you know, give up on you. He's never ever going to walk away and say, "I've had it with you." He's always going to be there with you because He loves you. See, His love is not unconditional. I mean, His love is unconditional. It's not conditional. He loves you no matter how you act. And He loves you no matter where you've been. He loves you. Now, it doesn't mean that He approves of all the things that we do, because He doesn't. There's none of us perfect, not one. But He's never going to throw up His hands and go, "Boy, I've had it. You know, I give up on you." He's not going to do that. First thing I want you to see here is that we are held by God's hand. I mean, when you stop and think about that, that's a pretty amazing thought, just that. Sometimes every morning when I get up and I spend time with the Lord and write devotionals and the things that God is speaking into my heart, one of the things I do is when I hear something like this, I just stop for a little bit and just let that soak in. Because sometimes things don't soak in, you know, readily. Sometimes they hit my hard head and they bounce off. But, I mean, I'm held by God's hand. He has me there. In fact, Jesus had made a mention of that. He says, you know, because you are His, He holds you in His hand and no one can take you out. No one. We had a couple of guys back in high school that really enjoyed doing this arm wrestling thing. They thought it was a big thing, you know, and so they were always challenging other people to do arm wrestling with them. And, you know, it's just, they just wanted to, you know, show that they had the dominant ability to put somebody else's arm down or whatever. But it's interesting, there was this one guy, and he was kind of a physical freak. I mean, he was the guy that was in the weight room all the time, so I guess it wasn't a freak. He worked hard at it or whatever. He was always in the weight room. When he didn't have something else to do, he was in the weight room. He was always lifting weights. So when he would challenge somebody to arm wrestling, they'd go, "No, I don't think so." You know, it's almost like he couldn't find anybody to arm wrestling.
But one of the reasons is because he had gotten so strong and so built up, his hands were like vice grips, and when he grabbed hold of your hand, you know, he'd start squeezing it before he even got ready to put you down. You know, and it's like when those knuckles in your hands start squeezing against each other, it's not very pleasant, right? So he kind of had the idea. But the fact is that we are held by God's hand, which is the most powerful hand ever and ever will be. God's strength is stronger than anything else. I mean, who is stronger than the Almighty God? No one. God can do all things because he's so powerful. And because of that, it just is a reminder to me, we're held in his hand. He holds us. The Hebrew phrasing here is pretty interesting. He says, yet I'm always with you, you hold me by my right hand. It's the picture of a father holding his newborn. It's a picture of a dad who's walking along with his son and he's got his hand in his hand and he's taking him across the parking lot because you know how what happens if you let go of a little boy's hand, he's going to run through the parking lot, you know. But he's holding on and he's not going to let go because he loves us so very much. And his strength, of course, is greater than anybody else's strength ever will be. And so he holds on to us, our Father, holding us in his arms. His grasp, the indication here is that his right hand is holding our right hand. Nothing against left-handed people, but it's a picture of strength and tenacity. In other words, every person who, back in the day, started training for being a soldier or whatever else, they always made them use their right hand, even if they were left-handed. They always made them use their right hand. And so as a result, people got pretty good using their right hand, even if they weren't right-handed. And it was something that you knew that when you were in a battle, you were going to be facing someone who was also coming against you using their right hand. And so it was really important back then. Psalm 139, verses 9 and 10 says, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. So in other words, God is telling us that not only does he have the strength to hold on to us, and not only does he have a hold of us, his grasp is holding us, if no one else can get us out of there. No one else could pluck us out of his hand. No one else can take us away from him. We are safe in his hand. In his mighty right hand. To me, that gives me great comfort because I know there are times that even when I choose to do something that I shouldn't do, he's not going to let me go. In fact, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture is the passage of the prodigal son, and it just reminds me that even though the father had to let his son go in to that land that was not good. And he did all the stuff and he squandered his wealth and he wound up in the pig pen. But what happened was he came to his senses and he realized that he had more in his father's house than he could ever have anywhere else. And so he went back to his father. But the scripture says he didn't go running back to his father. He was walking up the road and his father saw him and he ran to him. And he embraced him. And the son was trying to tell him, I'm not worthy. Father, don't do this. I'm not worthy. And he says, I thought you were lost. I thought you were dead, but you're alive. The Lord is holding on to us. We are held in his hand. And we are also guided by his counsel. Look at what it says here. Whom have I in heaven but you? And being with you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near you, God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of all your deeds. He's saying, I want to be with you so I can know where you're going, because wherever you're going, God, that's where I want to go. Whatever you're saying, Lord, that's what I want to say. Your direction is far more important to me than anything else. Have you ever been really, really, really lost? I mean, I have a clue where you were. It's a terrible feeling. I remember when we moved from Fort Worth, Texas down to Houston. And the roads in Houston are a little interesting. Wayne can tell you about that sometime, but they have loops that go around the city, three different loops now, and they're about 10 miles apart. So, I mean, it just depends on how far out you need to go. But, I mean, you could stay on one of those loops and keep going around and around and not ever be able to figure out where to get off. And I know that when we first moved down there, we were trying to find Pearland, which is on the south side of Houston, and we were coming in from the north, and, you know, the traffic was so bad that you couldn't take your eyes off the road to even look at the signs, really. And, I mean, I had no clue where we were. I had no clue how to get where. This was back before everybody had cell phones and had navigation and all that kind of stuff. And I had no clue. I mean, I really honestly felt lost. I mean, it's a terrible feeling. But when you feel lost, you realize that you need a guide through life. You see, as good as it is to have navigation on your phone, it's way much better to have navigation in your heart by the Holy Spirit living in you. Because all you got to do is ask. And His name's not Siri. His name is Almighty God. All you got to do is ask. In fact, Jeremiah 33:3 reminds us of that. He says, "You come to me. If you'll call upon me, I will answer you and I will show you great and incredible things which you can't even comprehend." He's always ready to speak to us. He's always ready to show us where we need to go. He's always there. He gives us direction. And His directives are there by the Holy Spirit and by His Word. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. His Word should also be living inside of us, because we ought to be in His Word constantly. Now, you know, I can tell you that over the about 50-something years that I've really been spending time in God's Word, I still am just amazed when I go and I read through a passage, and maybe I've read through that passage multiple times, but that particular time, His Spirit speaks to my heart. And I'm going like, man, why didn't I ever see that before? Because His Spirit had not revealed to me what He was saying at that point until now. I get that all the time now. I read a passage that I've got underlined in my Bible. I've got words written out on the side. And by the way, if I ever lose this Bible, I'm in big trouble, because I've got so many things written in it. But the fact is that I can read right through the same passage, and all of a sudden God's Spirit says, "And this is what this means to you." And I go, "Wow, why didn't I see that before?" It's because I wasn't listening to His Spirit, or He wasn't ready yet to reveal that portion to me. But His Word is there. And listen, folks, that means His Word is available to us, and we're so blessed to be able to have His Word. There are so many people that don't have His Word. Yes, it is still the number one, you know, seller of books in the whole world, but there's still billions, literally billions of people that don't have a Bible. And we're so blessed. We have His Word. But you know, having His Word is a lot different than spending time in His Word. I don't know, it might have been some time in your life. There was a time in my life when I was so busy at college, and I was, you know, I was playing football and I was doing all the other things, and it just seemed like I didn't have time to spend in God's Word. And so my Bible sat on my lampstand beside my bed many days in a row without being opened. And it finally, God's Spirit just ripped at my heart and said, "What are you doing? What are we supposed to seek first? His kingdom and His righteousness. Then all the other things will be added to us." And so, it just was a reminder to me to get back into His Word. We've got to continually do that. The more we spend time in His Word, the more we'll understand who He is, what He wants, where He wants us to go, what He wants us to do, Every single thing that we need to know is right here in His Word. He didn't leave anything out. So He gives His directives by the Spirit and by His Word. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, David wrote, "Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on His law he meditates day and night." Okay, so day and night is what? It's 24 hours. It means anytime you're alert and awake. Now, that might be different for some of you because you might wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you're not awake until 7. I understand that, you know, until you get like 2 or 3 cups of coffee in you or whatever. But the fact is when we're alert and awake, we ought to be meditating on God's Word. And you might say, well, I can't do that when I'm doing all these other things that I have to do in my job or whatever. Yes, you can. You can just ask God to give you one thing to listen to Him about today. And all through the day, no matter what else you're doing, you can be remembering those things in your heart and mind. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." You know, one of the things that I really appreciated about Awana's was that the young children were memorizing God's word. And I still have passages in my heart that I memorized when I was a young boy in Vacation Bible School and growing up that are still there. Even though I can't remember my phone number, I can remember those things. I never call my phone. You know? Psalm 16, verse 7. "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me." I don't know if you're like I am, but when I lay down at night, it's kind of a time for me to just kind of go back through everything that's happened during the day and kind of talk to the Lord about it and say, "Lord, did I miss something you wanted me to see today? Did I not do something I was supposed to do?" Just a reflection time. And, you know, I think so many people live without even trying to do that. They just, when they're tired, they go to bed, they go to sleep. They get up the next day, do the same stuff, and go back to bed and go to sleep. And what are we missing when we do that? Well, nothing really important except God. We're missing communion with Him. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to sleep quickly. That's fine. Maybe you need to spend some time during the day just reflecting and asking the Lord to continue to speak to your heart. Psalm 119:24. "Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors," David says. You know, when you don't exactly know what you're supposed to do, what should you do? Ask God. I mean, you can ask other people for their advice, and sometimes you'll get good godly wisdom, and sometimes you'll get not so godly wisdom. But just ask God. He's ever willing and ready to speak to us if we'll just listen. I think most of the time it's because we don't slow down enough to listen. We get through the end of the day and we're going like, "Oh, wow, this day's over and I've really not even listened to the Lord." We're held in His hand. We're guided by His counsel. And because of that, we are taken into God's glory. I think sometimes we don't even comprehend. I know I don't sometimes. How amazing it is that at the very moment that Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Scripture says the veil in the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. And why did that happen? God was saying, "I no longer don't want to be in a holy place away from you. I want you to be able to come in and have fellowship with me." That couldn't happen until all of our sins were paid for. But when they were paid for and Jesus died on the cross, He says, "Now you can come in." Why? Because your sins are covered. You can come into the holy place. You can be in my presence. You can be here. In fact, God is asking us to come into his presence. He wants us to be in his place. God's home. You see, you know, a lot of times you probably, and it probably goes all the way back to the Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. Do you snap your feet together and stuff? You know, you remember that scene, and y'all remember that, don't you? The Wizard of Oz, and she was clicking her heels together, and she'd say, there's no place like home, and she ended up being there. But you know what? There is no place like God's home. And I know he's preparing a place for me because the Scripture tells me that. And I know he's been working on it. And I know someday he's going to bring me home. And it's really going to be home. It's not going to be an address on a street. It's not going to be a place where same furniture that I've had forever. It's not going to be that. It's going to be a place in his presence. That's what's going to make it home. And that's going to be amazing. What amazing thought to be at home with God. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4 kind of gives us an idea. And I heard the loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has been passed away. I mean, this could be amazing. We'll be taken into God's glory. John chapter 14 is that passage when Jesus was talking to his disciples I made reference to just a moment ago. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, if you have any doubt about knowing where you're going, if you know God, you know where you're going. We'll be taken into his home, and we will experience, as it says here in this passage, we will experience his glory. The Hebrew term is kabod, which means glorious, abundant, rich with honor and splendor. In other words, you can't even really describe how amazing it's going to be in the presence of God. I think if we really knew how awesome it was going to be, we would say like Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Can't wait until we're in the presence of God forever. Now, I'm not looking to go off myself or anything like that, but I can just tell you this. This life, although it may seem like it lasts a long time, the older you get, you realize it's not that long. But the fact is that one day, and I'm praying it's through the rapture, Jesus is going to appear in the sky and we're going to go and be with him forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. I mean, think about that. I mean, that's a passage of Scripture that you could meditate on all day long, and it still would continue to speak to you. Paul's telling the church at Corinth, listen, you can't even comprehend, neither can I. Nobody can even comprehend or conceive what God has prepared for those who truly love him. It's going to be greater than you can imagine. It's going to be greater than I can imagine. But the whole key and thing that holds it all together, the thing that wraps it up, the thing that is the twine around the bundle is this. He's always there for you. So let him hold your hand and let him guide you by his counsel. And someday soon, He'll be taking us into His glory. And there's nothing going to be better than that. Amen? Well, let's pray. Father God, I thank You for knowing, not only just because that's what You tell us, but one day soon we will know by experiencing that we're going to be in Your presence forever. Lord, right now You're holding us with Your mighty right hand. And Lord, You are guiding us by Your word, Your counsel. But someday soon, You're going to take us into Your glory. And Father, there's no place like home. It's going to be great. Because we're going to be in Your presence. And I thank You and praise You for this beautiful reminder to us that we can think about constantly. You love us so much that You've done this for us. You paid the price. You invited us in. You never want us to leave. And I thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen.